Welcome back. You're listening to Public Address Radio. As we have come to treasure our literary heritage in recent decades, the irony has emerged that we don't have access to a good deal of it. That's a situation the Electronic Text Centre sets out to remedy. The centre, based at Victoria University in Wellington, aims to provide a free public online library of significant New Zealand works, most but not all of them out of print. This week, it launched a collection of 30 of the so-called Maori Land novels written in and about New Zealand in the 19th century. Sentimental, Victorian, and occasionally bizarre, these books were long regarded as an embarrassment by our cultural nationalists. But the centre's director, Alison Stevenson, says it's time they had their due.
Well, I think it is. I think that the academics who've been looking at these texts really regard it as a real black hole in our understanding of New Zealand's literary past. I mean, certainly some of the content might be not to our taste. You know, the forms are outmoded and the prose in places is certainly rather purple, but that doesn't mean that they don't deserve a wider examination and even a wider reading appreciation.
Yeah, they were kind of overlooked perhaps deliberately by our cultural nationalists in the 30s to 50s. Was that because they thought they smacked of home?
It was partly that, but I think they also had a very specific project in that they wanted to create a national literature. So they almost declared themselves as year zero and said, that's it. You know, nothing came before us. This is where we start. And so it was, in a sense, convenient to be able to ignore the fact that there were over 100 novels published, or more than that.
And these books, they've been part of the Turnbull collection, have they?
Some of them are part of the Turnbull collection. When we started off on this project, we had a list of 64 titles, some of which were held in the university collection here at Victoria University in the J.C. Beagle Room, but some of which, as far as we know, perhaps only exist in the Alexander Turnbull collection. So we've enjoyed a really good collaborative project with colleagues at the Turnbull who undertook, you know, a conservation assessment of these books, sometimes rebinding them, and then brought them to us so we could digitise them.
Who wrote and published these books? Were these people actually in New Zealand?
Most of them were, yes. They were early colonialists coming and sometimes writing about their experiences. Some of them were writing based on letters that they received from family members who'd come to New Zealand and then sort of collated those into a book. And some of them wrote for reasons because they didn't have anything else to read. That was the reason that John White, one of our early novelists, said that he didn't have anything else to read, so he wrote his own novel, which is quite a kind of a number eight wire approach to writing novels, I guess.
Indeed, yeah. Now, I've actually been into the New Zealand room at the Turnbull and personally felt some frustration that the treasures there aren't available to the public at the time. Is making them available the centre's mission?
Make it the tech centre, yes. It's certainly our mission here at the tech centre to take significant New Zealand and Pacific Island texts which aren't accessible, you know, whether that's because they're only held in one or two copies in rare book collections and they are so delicate that rare book collections don't want to actually make them physically accessible to users. So we can take them and digitise them carefully and then make them available to anybody around the world, because these novels aren't just of interest to New Zealanders about New Zealanders' literary history, but they're really important in the way that they relate to colonial writing in Australia, in Canada, and the connections between, for example, the treatment of Maori characters in these novels and the treatment of Native American characters in the early novels of the American West.
Now, another thing that caught my eye at the Turnbull was the pamphlet collection, and there's literally thousands of these things. They're kind of what people did before they had blogs. Is there any plan to bring some of those to light?
Well, we certainly have plans to expand the collection of 19th century novels, and included in that are things which you would think of as pamphlets. You know, they were more pamphlets perhaps than they were novels.
Well, what's the process of digitising old documents like these? How does it work? Who does it?
We do it here at the New Zealand Electronic Text Centre. We take the physical books and we have a book scanner here at the university, which is designed to hold the books in a cradle so that we don't damage them, and take digital images of the pages. We then take those images of the pages and we transcribe the text from them. And now some institutes would use OCR software to do that, optical character recognition software, so that the computer would try to recognize the words on the page and convert it into electronic text. What we find is that that doesn't produce a highly accurate copy of the text. You get mistaken characters and garbled words. So we actually use a double keyboarding process where somebody sits down and types back in the entire text. Somebody else does exactly the same, and those two versions are then merged, and you get a very, very accurate 99.95% character accuracy rating of the original text.
That all sounds like it takes an enormous amount of time. Who actually funds that activity?
Here at the university, the Tech Centre is largely funded by the university to digitise these texts and make them available to support research and learning within the university, and also to make them accessible to the wider New Zealand public.
What else might our listeners find if they were to visit the Electronic Tech Centre website?
We have the official history of New Zealand in the Second World War, which is our most popular, most heavily used set of electronic texts. This is a 50-volume set of histories that were produced by the Ministry of Culture and Heritage. So we find that lots of people come to those texts looking for information about, you know, relatives that fought in the war or battles that took place. The other resources that are heavily used are our collection of early Maori and Pacific Island dictionaries, but one of our most popular individual texts is a very early edition of the Edmunds Cookbook, which contains fantastic recipes, none of which use eggs because, according to the advertisement, eggs were both expensive and unreliable. So recipes for scones that don't contain eggs, and recipes even for egg drink that don't contain eggs.
What's the copyright situation with something like the Edmunds Cookbook? I presume, you know, the rights still persist in that because it's still being published.
Yes, but the recipes published in the 1917 edition, that book itself is out of copyright.
Is most of what's in the archive out of copyright?
Yes, it is. Yeah, there's a huge amount of New Zealand documentary heritage which is out of copyright, and so we've generally focused on those texts and making them available, although we do have some more modern material, particularly the Sport Literary Journal and the Turbine Literary Journal. Those all go online as well.
What's your personal favourite in the collection?
I really like the Edmunds Cookbook. I like the fact that you can go there and you can try those recipes that perhaps your great-great-grandmother used to cook, and they are difficult because the instructions are quite vague. It says things like, cook immediately in a quick oven until done. So when we've tried some of those out here at the library, we've had a few burnt offerings, but it's good.
That's kind of interesting because it sort of indicates that works of significance don't have to be high literature.
No, I don't think so. And they don't have to be high literature for interest, and neither do they have to be high literature for research interest here at the university. A lot of these texts are now really interesting for social historians to look at.
Alison Stevenson of the Electronic Text Centre there. You can visit the centre online at nzetc.org. In the first episode of the Flight of the Conchords TV series, the hapless Kiwi folk duo film a video clip for their song The Humans Are Dead. But they are disappointed when their manager Murray presents them with their cardboard robot costumes. They wanted, they said, robot costumes like those for which the dance group Daft Punk are famous. Well, the inevitable has happened. Persons unknown have mashed up parts of the episode and the song with Daft Punk's robot rock. It's fairly silly.
What are these supposed to be?
Those are just your function buttons for the robot.
They look like nipples.
Don't touch them. Like, I spent ages making these guys. It looks good. Now let's just start again. It's all ahead.
Well, it doesn't look like Daft Punk. We wanted ones like Daft Punk.
I don't know who he is. They're just robots from the future, right? Try not to walk so funky, Brett, because you're trying to make it less cool, more like, you know, electronic. Hide your neck, that's right. Okay.
It is the distant future, the year 2000.
We are robots.
The world is very different ever since the robotic uprising of the mid-90s. There is no more unhappiness.
Affirmative.
We no longer say yes. Instead, we say affirmative.
Yes, affirmative.
Unless it's a more colloquial situation with a few robo-friends. There is only one kind of dance. The robot.
And the robo-boogie.
Oh, yes. Two kinds of dances.
Finally, robotic beings rule the world.
Robot rock!
The humans are dead. The humans are dead. We use poisonous gases. And we poison their asses. The humans are dead.
That's right, they are dead.
Humans are dead.
They look like they're dead.
It had to be done.
I'll just confirm that they're dead.
So that we could have fun.
Affirmative. I poked one, it was dead.
But that's not the first Concord's mashup. American DJ Weekend sampled the same episode for his thumping electro house remix of another Concord's favourite, Business Time. And with that, it's time to wrap up. If you'd like to hear anything in this or previous shows again, check our podcast at publicaddress.net/radio. Thanks to New Zealand On Air, I'm Russell Brown, and it's time for the news.